Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is brought to you by My Handmade Beauty University, the soup-to-nuts system to help you start your handmade beauty business. From setting up your business structure and trademarking your brand name, to narrowing down your product line and choosing trade and craft shows to attend, the Handmade Beauty University is the place to get your business started on the right foot. And it's taught by me, the founder and president of the Indie Beauty Network. Live classes start April 18th. For more information, visit indiebeautynetwork.com/HBU. Well, there was a time when the book publishing industry was composed of a few stodgy old publishing companies and a storehouse of the same old authors over and over again writing the same kinds of books for the same kinds of people. It was kind of mysterious and complicated and seemingly actually set up to keep new writers out rather than letting them in. Well, leave it to technology to break down barriers to entry, and today anyone can be an author. And because of digital technologies, you are never without the information in book form that you need to do just about anything you want. So, why not write a book of your own? What's holding you back? You don't have the time, the focus, the discipline, the subject? Our guest today will help you overcome each of those challenges. She's Sophronia Scott, author of Doing Business by the Book, How to Craft a Crowd-Pleasing Book and Attract More Clients and Speaking Engagements Than You Ever Thought Possible. Sophronia was nominated for the African American Literary Awards as Best New Author and hailed by no less than Professor Henry Louis Gates, Jr., as one of the best writers of her generation. She's a member of the Authors Guild, the Women's National Book Association, and the Harvard Club of New York City. Welcome to Indie Business Radio, Sophronia.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
If you're listening to the show at indiebusinessradio.com, you can join the chat by clicking on the link at the homepage. If you're already in the chat, welcome. Post your questions, your comments for Sophronia and me. You can also Twitter the show to let other people know that we're here. I know you know some people who want to write a book or feel like they need to get that book out and they're just struggling to do it. Go ahead and tweet them and let them know that we're here. Make sure you use the Indie or the IB Radio hashtag so we can all follow the conversation. So Sophronia, this book, I have to say, it is, I have read a lot of books on writing a book and, you know, how to sort of narrow down your topic. And this book is so to the point and just a real critical read, I think, for anyone who wants to do this. So let's talk a little bit at first about what does it mean to actually be a published author? Can you do that on your own, or do you have to go to one of those old publishing companies to get that done?
Well, as you said in your introduction, Donna Maria, technology has made it a lot easier to produce your own book. And not just any book. You know, before, self-published books looked like nothing more than a pamphlet. But today, you can create your own great-looking book, and no one would know the difference between that and a traditionally published book. So you can become a published author on your own.
Now, you know, I did my first book, Sophronia, and I went to Kinko's. And I had spiral bound and the whole nine yards. And so I sold my first book, believe it or not, to a woman in Germany. And I literally started saying at my website, I'm an internationally published author. So I've always felt a little funny about that. What do you think about that? Is that okay to say if someone's out there, you know, and they've got a book, but it's, you know, it's not published by Time Life Books or whatever? What do you think is the best way to approach talking about it once it gets done?
Well, if you ask a member of the general public if they knew the difference between Simon & Schuster or Advantage Media, which is a self-publishing company, or Mill City Press, which is another self-publishing company, if you asked a member of the general public what was the difference, they would not be able to tell you. You know, it is mainly people who are in the industry, people in New York, in California, who know those names, who know the difference. But for the general public, if you've written a book that addresses their needs, they really don't care how the book got created. The point is that the book is there for them to help.
Good, good. Well, that's exciting to hear because, you know, a lot of people feel like, oh, you know, nobody's going to care about my little e-book or my little thing. And so, you know, let's just start by, you know, I want to hear you talk about that because I know you're such an encourager and you really believe that if you have something to offer, getting it out there in book form is one of the best ways to make the most of it.
Exactly, because you know, to me, we all have, especially we're entrepreneurs. I mean, everyone that we're speaking with right now, we're business people. And to me, the fact that you've created a business means that you're a creative a person. A business is a creative endeavor. And you've created that business for a reason. And in one way or another, there is an underlying message to that business. And I don't care if you're being a consultant or if you manufacture a product or you offer some sort of service, but there is some sort of message behind that, that you believe that this product needs to be in the world for a reason, that you offer your particular service the way you do for a certain reason, and there is a message behind that. And a great way to bring people to you is to communicate that message so that people can rally around it. We all want a great reason why. You know, why should I buy that product? Why should I come to you? And if you can inspire a great answer to that why, people will respond.
Okay, so I've got my great products, they're wonderful, and I have a blog, and I spend a whole lot of time on my blog doing exactly what you said. Tell me what a book adds to that, because there's a lot of time I got to take out to write this book now, so tell me why I need to add that on.
Well, you have to think that, well, first of all, you have to understand who you're writing it for and where your audience is, okay? So the fact of the matter is, you know, everyone is not consuming the same media all the time. Mm-hmm. So you're writing a book to reach out to a portion of your target audience that you're not currently reaching. And you also want to keep in mind, and the marketer Dan Kennedy says this a lot, we cannot take for granted that the marketing strategies that we use today will be there tomorrow.
Mm.
So, you know, blogs may be everywhere today, but, you know, who knows, they could be outlawed tomorrow. Infomercials were once illegal, you know, during the 1980s. And there's nothing to say that they couldn't become illegal again. So you really can't depend on just one way of reaching your audience. You have to put out many different lines in the water, so to speak.
That's a really good point, Sophronia. You know, particularly today when so many of us are using low-cost or no-cost digital technologies to get the word out, it really does pay to sort of cross-pollinate for that reason, doesn't it? We don't know what's going to happen to Twitter tomorrow.
Exactly. Or email, it may not be free to send out emails anymore.
That's right.
Think about telemarketing and faxing. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now we have do not call lists. You know,
right.
And the spam laws are getting tighter all the time. So we really do have to create different ways to put ourselves in front of our audiences.
And you know, Sophronia, there's so many options when it comes to writing a book today. It's almost dizzying. So we've got you here because you've done all the research and you're so good at putting all this stuff together. What are the basic options that we have? Again, you know, people just starting out, we're busy, we got to make products, we got to actually have some time to generate some sales while we're writing this book. So can you give us some suggestions for, you know, how to approach it in terms of, you know, do I self-publish? Do I try to get an agent? Do I pitch for myself? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it all depends on your goal. You know, what is it that you want to have happen because you've written this book? Now, for some people, it is all about the business, and the book is a product that they want to make money on, and they also want to get it out there in a certain time frame. If you're seeking to publish through a traditional publishing house, you have no control over the time frame, number one. Number two, you don't get to make very much on the books that are sold.
Mm-hmm.
You get paid a very small royalty compared to what you could get if you published it on your own. The next thing is you have to think about where you're at in terms of what is your reach, what kind of platform do you have, what kind of audience can you bring to the table. If you're not at that level where you can reach thousands and thousands of people, it's going to be that much harder to get a traditional publishing house interested in you. So you could spend months and months beating your head against that door, and it's just not going to open yet because you're just not at that point. So why not spend that time to put something out there of your own, reach your audience, grow your list, and get yourself to a point where either that book could get picked up later by a traditional publishing house, or maybe your next book will. But you have to understand, you know, what are your goals for having that happen?
Mm-hmm.
It may not be that being with a traditional publishing house is right for you. But if you feel that maybe you think that you're going to get a bigger audience that way, maybe you want the prestige behind being published behind that way. I know I felt that way when I published my first book. But you have to have your ducks in a row in order to make that happen. So you have to really understand why you want it and how you're going to get it.
Sophronia, in some ways, does it help if you're just starting out to go ahead and get that ebook out there and see what kind of feedback you can get and then use that as a way to gauge whether you want to pitch to a traditional publisher or not?
I think an ebook is great to start out with if you're starting out with your business and you're not certain about your message or whether or not it's the right material that your audience will respond to. So an ebook is a great way to get out there and The ebook is a great way to try things out. An ebook can be just, you know, 50, 45, 80 pages, and you can put it out there to see if it sells, get some feedback from your readers, maybe tweak the material, see what you could add to it, and go from there.
That's a really good point. Now, you said 45, 80 pages for an ebook. Does it have to be that long? Is there a page minimum for an official ebook?
Well, when you think about it, it's just about how people are going to engage with the material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, if it's shorter than 50 pages, that kind of feels more like a report to me.
Okay.
You know, and not really a book.
Okay.
So what is it that you're putting together here, and what is the message?
I love that.
It really is going to be that short. I mean, maybe it is going to be that short. Maybe you're creating a book that may someday be something more like a carry-around book that's kind of like a pamphlet. You know, that's okay, too. But you have to think, when you do shorter with a book, you know, it's still a book. But with
mm-hmm.
an e-book, if it's shorter, it's hard to promote it as a book.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and it's probably great that, you know, if you are using Twitter and other connective tools or social media tools, you can certainly get feedback from people about what they feel comfortable calling it, and then you get some help. People are always so happy to help. So, Sophronia, you know, I want to write my book. I kind of, you know, I generally, of course, I know what my products and services are. I know how I make money. What is the first thing that I need to do to sort of set my brain up for this whole endeavor? Because it's a lot, and we want to do it right the first time.
Well, first of all, you have to not think of the book as just a book,
uh-huh.
Okay? Many clients come to me and, you know, we all think of a book as this great, you know, lifetime endeavor, and it's like, okay, here is my book. And they think of it as, okay, I'm going to produce this book and then just sell the book. Well, that's kind of short-sighted, because a book can do so much more in your business. So the idea is, when you put together your book, you want to think about, what do I want people who read this book, what do I want the people to do next? Okay, so you have to think about who your customer is, why you want them to read this book, then what happens next? Are you going to get them to come to your website? And once they come to your website, you know, what are you going to get them to do? How are you going to get their contact information? How can you get them to make an initial purchase? And then how do you lead them into your whole sales system that will lead to them making bigger
mm-hmm.
purchases of your products and services. That's the thing to think about, because a book all by itself is not a great product. You know, it's this one thing that you can sell for, you know, maybe $15. But if
mm-hmm.
that book leads to a bigger sale, then that book means, you know, $500, $600, maybe $5,000 to you per sale.
Right. So decide what it is that you want, what your ultimate goals are, and then sort of work back from there. Because as you're saying, your website, I guess, has to be set up in order to drive people, once they get to your landing page, to make a purchase of that book and sort of take that action to sort of get them into your funnel.
Exactly. Because, and again, that's a luxury that we have with technology. Because before, with books, you know, someone could go into a store and buy your book, and you would have no idea where that book went or what
mm.
that person did with it.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can put many calls to action in your book, you know, giving away free reports, giving away product samples, giving away tickets to a workshop that will entice people to give you their contact information. And from then on, you know, you can keep marketing to them until they do make a purchase. You know, you build your list with your book, and that's the true value of it, when you use your book as a powerful lead-generating device.
So many different benefits to having one. Debbie, in the chat room, who actually has a book coming out later this year, wonders, Sophronia, if there are published or self-publishers who produce books that are as really high quality as mainstream traditional books? Would a big bookstore consider carrying a self-published book?
Well, let me ask you. You've seen my book. Would you consider my book as high quality as a mainstream published book?
Well, now, that is a good way to turn this question around, because I got to tell you guys, if you haven't seen Sophronia's book, you can, of course, go to her website and check it out. You can check her out on twitter.com/Sophronia. But I got to tell you, it looks just, I mean, it's a book. I didn't go, gee, is this self-published or is this not? Because it just looks professional. Is it self-published?
Yes, it is.
All right, then you know what? That's a really good answer to the question, because if you guys get your hands on Sophronia's book, you'll see what I'm talking about. The cover art is beautiful, it's colorful, it's appealing, and the name of the book is, of course, prominently displayed, and it's very nicely done. We're going to come back after our first break and talk with Sophronia Scott a little bit more about how to get that book. We got to give birth to that book so that we can use it as a platform to expand our businesses and also our lives. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We're here this afternoon with Sophronia Scott, the author of Business by the Book, and we're talking about what we need to do to get all our ducks in a row to line up our book for publication, whether we publish it ourselves or we have it traditionally published. And Debbie in the chat room has a couple of questions, Sophronia, in terms of, you know, would a big bookstore consider carrying a self-published book? I bet yours are some bookstores.
Well, yes, they would. They would consider carrying it. But again, the question is, you know, this is something that you really need to pursue. Mm. Because when you think about it, you know, most people are buying their books online these days. And even if a big bookstore were to carry your book, if you're not well known, they wouldn't necessarily buy that many copies, maybe three, maybe five, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it would be harder for people to find your book, you know, wherever they put it on the bookshelf if there are only a few copies there. Now, if you sell your book really well on the internet, then they may be more likely to carry more copies of it. But these days, especially with certain self-publishing companies, it's very easy to get your book listed on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Books a Million, all of the major book websites. And also, your book is available for distribution, so anyone can walk into a bookstore, and if they can't find your book, ask for it, and the bookstore will be able to find it in their system and order it. So to me, that's just as good, because that means your book is available everywhere.
Now, your book was released just, you know, not that long ago, just last year, and you already have your own imprint, right? Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, yeah, we were just talking about the quality of the book I published, and it was published by Advantage Media Group, and that's a self-publishing company in South Carolina. And the reason I went with them is because I really liked the way they put a book together. And we talked about this. Adam Witte is the head of that company, and he knows that I have my own audience and that they are all writing books, and he offered me the chance to have my own self-publishing imprint, which would be a segment of Advantage Media Group. So when you have an imprint, and many traditional publishing houses have this as well, where they have a different name of an imprint that specializes in a certain type of book, like science fiction or entrepreneurial books, for example. So so we created an imprint of Advantage Media Group called Messenger House Books. And you can check that out at messengerhouse.com. We are now accepting manuscripts now. And we are basically, and I told you, I'm all about the message. So to me, the imprint is all about helping entrepreneurs and anyone else who is seeking to put a message out there into the world. You know, come to us, and we will help you put together a great quality book.
Excellent. That's fantastic. And for everyone who's listening, you can go to amglive.com, right, for Advantage Media Group?
Yes, and messengerhouse.com is, again, part of that whole system, so it's either one.
Excellent, hearing that. So, all right, so we've got this book idea, and we've got some ideas about whether we want to self-publish and or not, and so what do we do? I mean, we have a topic, but where do we go from there? Because everything is swimming around in our heads or in little categories at our blogs. What do we do to organize this stuff so we can get a consistent, coherent message out there that people will enjoy?
Okay. Well, first of all, you want to talk to your audience and figure out what is a pressing problem that they want to have solved. And ideally, your book in one way or another is going to do that. Okay. Now, to organize the book, think about how you would break this up into steps. You know, you're going to solve this problem in one way, whatever this problem may be, whether it's, you know, how to get your hair done and out the door in 30 minutes or less, how to maintain the whiteness of your teeth, whatever. It's going to be a series of steps. I like to invite my clients to create those steps and give one chapter to each of those steps.
Okay.
So let's start off, and you can even start this off yourself by just thinking about 10 chapters. And maybe your book is going to be more chapters, maybe it's going to be less, but I always start with 10. Just to see where you're at. And map out each chapter in this way. Think of it as what, why, and how.
Okay.
What is this chapter about? Why is this step important? How do I implement it?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what type of services you offer, you may not offer very much of the how, because that's the part that you're going to sell.
Okay.
Now, in addition to that, you're going to make notes about anecdotes that you're going to put throughout each chapter. And anecdotes are important because, number one, they allow the reader to see themselves in the book. Number two, they allow the reader to see how you helped someone with their particular issue. So it's basically a way of you presenting your expertise. So you have this what, why, and how, and you have your anecdote. And that's basically the shape of each chapter. And you're going to repeat that format. You know, chapter 1, 2, 3, all the way over to chapter 10. And that's how you're going to organize your information. Okay? Now, to write this, you know, now some people can sit down and look at an outline like that and work their way through it and write the book.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may get caught up and can't do it because they're trying to write that perfect sentence, you know, so it goes really slowly.
Right.
So if you get hung up in that way, I invite you to find some sort of recording device, whether on your computer or a digital recorder of some sort, and talk your way through your outline.
Okay.
Now, you can talk much faster than you can write. That's true for most people.
Right.
If you talk your way through this book, even pretending that you're talking to a prospective client or telling a story to someone, if you talk your way through your book and record it, have that transcribed, you already have the basis of a first draft right there. And to me, rewriting is so much easier than writing. And that will get you started right there.
And you had another suggestion, too, that I saw having to do with flip charts. Tell us a little bit about that idea.
Well, that's for the visual learners, okay, who really need help putting this together. So that's the idea where you take a flip chart, you know, these huge white pieces of paper, and you put them up on the wall. And you think of each sheet as your chapter, okay? And you use post-it notes. And those post-it notes are going to represent your talking points for each chapter. So as I just noted, so chapter one, the what, why, and how.
Mm-hmm.
For your what, you're going to make certain points. Like maybe it'll be three or four about, what is this chapter about? You're going to take a post-it note and write down each of those points and, you know, stick it up there page. Again, why is this important? Again, write out each of those points, 4, 5, 6 points. Stick them up on the page. How are you going to do this? Or maybe you're going to give them a series of exercises. Write it on the post-it note. Put it up there on the page. Do the same thing with your anecdotes. I'm going to tell the story of when I did this. I'm going to tell the story about anecdote about my client named Jane. And, again, you put that up on the post-it note. And you have all of this up on a wall if you have space for this in your office or in your home. But it allows you this huge representation of your book. It's right there all on the wall. And all the material is right there and perfectly organized. And you can see if something doesn't feel right in terms of the flow. I do this when I'm writing all the time. I print out my chapters and I lay stuff out on the floor because I need to get a feel for the movement of the book.
Right.
So this would help you to see whether something fits or if it doesn't, whether you have more in one chapter and less in another, and get you really confident in working with your material.
Now, did you have a writing schedule, or do you typically have a writing schedule? Do you, like, go away for 3 hours every day till a book's done, or a certain amount of time every week where you put yourself in a place where you can't be disturbed to get your writing done? How do you find that you make the most progress? Because you're a busy lady, so you have to fit this in, right?
Yes, and I also have a 4-and-a-half-year-old son, so who takes up a lot of time in that. But I find, and you have to also figure in that I'm working on client material as well. So I find that I really have to focus on a project to completion, where there will be a week or a weekend where, you know, whenever I have a big chunk of time, I'm working on that one project. And it's going to vary because, you know, before I had my child, my writing time was more regimented.
Right.
But now I have to look at, okay, where is my open time? Sometimes it's at night. You know, I was up pretty late last night working on a project. But where can I find these blocks of time where I can totally complete something?
Uh-huh.
Now, the other thing you have to keep in mind, and some writers make this mistake as well, they think in terms of, well, I can't do this until I do that. And when actually, if you can get a draft done, or, for instance, if you're pursuing a traditional publishing house, you can get a book proposal done or get a draft done and send it out or send out query letters based on that. And while you're waiting for those query letters to come out, you mm-hmm. can be working on something else.
Right.
You could be planning the marketing of the book. You could be planning your next book. You could be working on your client stuff. But there are times, especially in the book publishing process, where you can get something done and have someone else be doing, you know, taking on the load while you work on something else. And we often wait until we finish something when we're really holding up other parts of the process.
Or worse yet, we procrastinate for so long and then someone else writes the book.
Yeah,
we want it right.
That happens as well. But, you know, what's great about writing today, though, is that if the take on your subject is so very much you, you know, people will still come to the book for you, even
mm-hmm.
if somebody else has already written it. You know, I talk about this with self-help books all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the majority of self-help books, they pretty much all say the same thing.
They do, don't they?
Yes, they do. But Seven Habits of Highly Effective People says it very differently than a Sheryl Richardson book. And she says it differently from Jack Canfield. You know, everyone's going to choose the voice that speaks to them.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it seems like somebody else has done it, you know, get your book out there.
Well, you know, and let's talk about that a little bit more, because I know in just working with people who want to get a book out there, one of the things that I hear, and tell me if you hear that too, is that, you know, well, who's going to read me? Who cares about what I have to say? And that's just really not true. It's just not true.
That's not true. And especially if you're a business owner,
mm-hmm.
I'd be kind of surprised if you're a business owner saying that, because if you're telling me that, then you're also, then you should also be wondering, well, why should anyone buy my product? You know,
mm-hmm.
why should I, you know, be out there? Somebody else already sells these supplies.
Right,
you know,
right.
if you're a business owner, you're already, you know, trying to stand out in the marketplace.
You're already out there. Debbie in the chat room has a question. When she got a book offer from a publisher, it was hard for her to figure out if it was a good contract or not. Do you have any resources you can quickly offer for people to look at a proposed contract? What's a good writer's advance? What's a good percentage of royalties as the years go by? What are your tips in that area?
Well, I'm not sure if she's talking about a traditional publishing house or not.
Yes.
Because most traditional publishing houses will want to make such an offer through an agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't always negotiate directly with the writer, and they would even say, or maybe even make a suggestion of an agent in order to make that negotiation. So
I think in this instance that she did get a direct offer. I know mine came directly from a publisher, and I didn't have any. I just sort of negotiated it all by myself. But again, that was because I had already published my book. It was already out there. I had done it myself, and they knew that people were interested in it. But
mm-hmm.
I guess you just kind of have to. Are there any website resources or frequently asked questions, places where we can go to find out what sorts of questions we would need to ask to negotiate? Even with an agent, then you have two levels to think about because the agent has to get paid too.
Yes, exactly. There is a website, I believe it's the American Association of Author Representatives.
Or
okay. Maybe it's the Association of Author Representation. I think it's like AA. Something r.org or something like that. You'd have to Google it.
Okay, I'm going to do that right now and chat it into the chat room. Here it is. I found it already.
Yeah, those
Let's
are
look at that.
Those are listings of no fee of agents that don't charge fees, meaning they don't get paid until you do. Essentially, that's what that means. So you could connect with someone there and tell them, you know, look, I have this offer on the table, and you know, can I get some advice here?
Great. That's a good resource for everyone who's listening. It's www.aaronline.com. We're going to take our last break and come back and talk some more with Sophronia Scott about getting that book published. I'm going to be looking for everybody in the chat room to ask some more questions. If you have any questions or you're facing any challenges in terms of getting your book out there, this is a great time to talk with an expert on the topic, Sophronia Scott. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Sophronia, welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking with Sophronia Scott, and she is a book consultant, she's a writer, she's an author, and she's also the author of Business by the Book. And she helps people take the book that's inside of them and bring it to fruition, get it out there into people's hands so they can use it as a complement to their business. And Sophronia, one of the things we were asking about really quickly before we took our last break had to do with you know, going through the steps that we take to actually organize the information to write the book. And one of the things that you said was really important was to be able to tell stories and anecdotes. Can you tell us a little bit about why that's so significant?
Well, anecdotes are a great way for us to take in information to learn things. I mean, that goes all the way back to the Bible, you know, with parables. It's just a great way for people to retain information. Now, for the right anecdote for your book, you want it to have a certain shape, okay? I say that the best anecdotes have a before and after aspect. You want to be able to say, well, here's what the situation was like before this person came to me or before they bought my product, and here's how we worked on it, here's what they did with the product, then here's what it was like afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was saying before, it makes it easier for the reader to see themselves in that story and to relate to it and see that the same thing can happen for them. Now, the example I like to use in this is to talk about the E-Myth. Have you ever read the E-Myth by Michael Gerber?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that book is actually called The E-Myth Revisited, because the original came out in something like 1985. And so I decided to go check it out because I was curious as to, you know, what in the entrepreneurial world has changed since the first E-Myth came out. And I was surprised that the main difference in the book that, that Michael Gerber made when he rewrote it was the addition of a woman named, I believe her name is Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this long-running anecdote of him or some fictional version of him coaching this woman who is a pie baker and who was making all of the pies herself and was working too much in the business. And that was the main change, is that they created this anecdote to help people understand the information. And even now, when people talk about the book, like if you're having a conversation with someone who is talking about their business, they can even say, oh, I'm still baking all the pies. And you know immediately what they're talking about. It's an E-Myth reference.
Right, right. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, too, because, you know, so many people think you have to always reinvent the wheel, whatever it is that you do. And that example that you showed just demonstrates that you really don't always have to do that. And, you know, I want to comment on this, too, because I went to the to the library not too long ago, and I was looking for Seth Godin's most recent book. Mm-hmm. And my library did not have it. And you know what was interesting was they listed all these books they had that he had authored from like 1989 in the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. You can't find them anymore. They're not at his website. They're nowhere. And they have these really interesting titles like What Stupid People Need to Know About Marketing, or, you know, it was kind of a takeoff of the Dummies, you know, kind of books. And I thought that was really interesting because what it said to me, as I hope it says to other people, is that, you know, everything that when you first start out, the biggest thing to do is to just get started, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, the big thing that ultimately comes, the book that brings you where it is that you want to be in terms of your message. But it's important, Sophronia, is it not, to just do something if you feel like this is what you want to do?
Absolutely. And plus, you know, you have to understand what you're doing with the book, because that will make it easier for you to get started. Another example I like to use is Jack Canfield, the author of The Success Principles.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in The Secret, and he was on Oprah. And about a year ago, he published a book called The Key to the Law of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that book was created to, you know, take advantage of his popularity from The Secret. That book is even made to look like The Secret book, and it has that parchment look. But if you look in that book, the material is not that much different from certain sections of The Success Principles. And the main reason that book is there is to take advantage of The Secret and to also produce a product line that he created. To promote a product line he created called the Dream Big Collection, a series of journals and vision boards. So, you know, he didn't have to reinvent the wheel. He has another book out there. It's something connected to popular sales of something else, and it's going to sell a product for him. So that book is doing what he needs it to do out in the marketplace.
And for people whose business is the business of selling products like, you know, shoes or cosmetics or houses or whatever it is that you sell, a book can be a fantastic complement to that, right? Because you have to have, who is it that people say all the time, you have everyone's an expert at something.
Exactly. And we're all looking for help to use the things that we buy in a better way.
Yeah, you know, there's a great example, and unfortunately I can't remember the website off the top of my head, but there's a dentist somewhere, I don't remember where it is, but the website was very impressive. If I find it, I'll let everybody know when I blog about this great interview. But, you know, this dentist, you know, created a product, you know, chewing gum to whiten your teeth or something like that, and she wrote a companion book to go along with it. So when you go to her website, of course, you can click through and you can actually make an appointment to go into her dentist chair if you want to. But right there on the homepage, the biggest thing there is, you know, here's my book on how to keep your teeth white. And, oh, by the way, if you need some help, you can go buy this product as well. And all of it's right there in one place.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and the book makes her stand out in the marketplace. You know,
yeah,
which dentist are you going to choose, you know? And it didn't have to be a complicated book. You know, it's very simple, to the point of what it is that she sells. You know,
right, and that's the beautiful part about it, is that the book is
probably already in her brain. If she's a dentist and she invented the product, you know, it's really a matter of organizing, as you said in our second segment, putting it into an organized fashion and getting it out on paper.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
Right. And it just takes time, that's all. So let's talk about that. We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, your life before child and your life after child and how your finding time is so different. But are there any principles that you can offer for people, whether we have a child or not, the principles that we need to kind of discipline ourselves to get this done? Should we try to, like 5 pages a week or, you know, a chapter a month, and then in 10 months we have a book? What are some guidelines that you can offer in that area?
Well, I think that, you know, everyone works differently, so it's really hard to say, you know, do a page a day or something like that, because it that just doesn't work for everyone. You have to find the rhythm that's going to work for you. But for entrepreneurs, I get the sense that we're used to working with deadlines, okay, especially if we're dealing with marketing campaigns, advertising campaigns, product, putting product out there, that we deal in deadlines all the time. So I say make your book part of an overall business strategy that's going to launch at a certain point, and you can't help but know that you have to get this product done by a certain date. And with the strategy that I explained to you of talking your book, you could even get a draft done, recorded at least, over a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And once you do that, you know, either voice recognition software,
right,
to talk it into your computer, or this is one of those things where you do one thing, you talk the book, and then send it off, and you can be doing something else while someone is transcribing it,
mm-hmm,
and then it comes back to you, and then you go back to working on the book, and then maybe you spend another 2 weekends editing and rewriting it. So
right,
it really doesn't have to take a huge amount of time. We're not necessarily talking about creating 300 pages here. You know?
Right, it doesn't have to be. Sophronia, can you give us some real-life examples of some people that you've worked with who really just, you know, they are not professional authors or professional writers, but yet they've been able to work with you or work with someone else that you know to get a book published that really does help them expand their sphere of influence and take their business to another level?
Well, I'm really excited right now about a new book by my client, Steve Gavatorta, and that's spelled G-A-V as in Victor, A-T as in Tom, O-R-T as in Tom, A, and his website is gavatorta.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, with my help, Steve wrote a book called The Reach Out Approach. And he's a corporate trainer, was looking to get into more paid speaking engagements. And this book, and again, it's a great-looking book, and it's filled with all of these charts, but he outlines this method of communication that can be used both in the business world and with communicating with your friends and family. But it's one of those books that has people in his realm of the world talking. And his website, you'll see, is totally redesigned around the book. Everything is now trademarked and styled around this book. And he has these awesome endorsements. He has new companies calling him. This is a book that he's going to be able to sell in bulk because it's the type of thing that a corporation would, you know, put down the money to buy 20,000 copies of it. So this is the absolute right book for his business, and his stature has grown 10 times over now.
And he's not an author, and he's not like a writer or someone that's like a professional in the industry.
Not at all.
Person at all. Okay.
Not at all.
And check out his website, and for if nothing else, then for some inspiration.
Exactly. It's so exciting, and I'm excited for him because, you know, we talked about this first at the National Speakers Association convention in San Diego a couple of years ago, and he was voicing this frustration to me. He knew that there were certain speaking engagements that he could not get because he was not a published author, places that only hired published authors. And I said to him, well, Steve, I can help you with that. I'm just really excited to see him,
That's great. And, you know, so many of my audience members are in the cosmetics industry. So you think about people like Lisa Price, who owns carolsdaughter.com in New York, and how when her book came out, a couple of years ago. She has a great book out sort of telling the story of her business. She's not a writer. She did have, like, someone to help her actually edit the book, but, you know, she was able to tell the story of her business, and people are just, it's called The Sweet Smell of Success, by the way, for those who don't know, just really excited to see that. And then we think about, of course, we all are familiar with The Body Shop and how the late Anita Roddick wrote, you know, everything from books on business to books with recipes to make your own beauty products. And all of these things, right, Sophronia, they just kind of work together to enhance her credibility and build her sales in both cases.
Absolutely. You know, I just finished a session of calls with the New Jersey National Association of Women Business Owners, and there was a salon owner on the call, and she said the exact same thing. She was thinking, well, I don't know what I would write a book about, and I said to her, you know, you own a business, and it's a successful business. Do you know how many other salon owners would want to know how you got to be where you are? You know,
right.
That's a book right there. So exactly, thinking in that way. You have expertise, you know, whether you realize it or not. You know, every person does.
Right, and you know, again, back to like what we're talking about at the beginning. If you feel like you don't, and that's hindering you from writing something, write Sophronia. You can start with. You can go ahead and start with that report, as opposed to thinking about it as a book. Because once you write 10 or 12 reports, you pretty much have a book anyway, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So
that's
for
right.
Anyone
I
else,
also.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I also encourage people to. You know, even before that, you know, to do the blog, to write a regular newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they just need to do some writing to figure out what it is that they have to say. And when you're working on that blog every day or writing a newsletter every week, you're going to see that you are saying similar things. And then you realize, oh, I guess I have an attitude about that. I guess I believe that this should be a certain way. And you're going to see that's your voice and that's your message.
Exactly, and how fun is it, too, when people comment on your blog and ask you questions, and you're like, ah, that's a good question, that's a whole chapter.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and people would love to pitch in. I mean, my friend, and she was also one of my workshop students, Pamela Slim, whose book, Escape from Cubicle Nation, is coming out this month.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela has an amazing blog of the same name, Escape from Cubicle Nation,
right.
And that's, you know, escapefromcubiclenation.com, and Pamela invited her blog readers to become part of a kind of committee that she used while she was writing the book. So whenever she needed an anecdote, you know, she would say, well, has anyone ever experienced this? And she would just send it out there, and people would answer back. And they became part of her book writing process.
How exciting is that? And by the way, Pamela Slim has been a guest on Indie Business Radio. You can check out her interview at indiebusinessradio.com. I think it was back in 2007 when I had her on the show, and she was a great guest as well. So that's a really good example, too. And her book will actually, I think it's coming out, or maybe it is out. I think it's just barely out, right, within the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, April. I think the date was April, so it should be out, if not now, any day now.
Yeah, how exciting. Well, Sophronia Scott, author of Business by the Book, this was fantastic. I loved having you here. You provided so many tips. I want you to take a moment, please, to tell our listeners where we can go to find out about your services, get your book, and maybe even tune in or go visit you at one of your speaking engagements coming up.
Well, you can read about the book at doingbusinessbythebooktoday.com, and my website is doneforyouwriting.com.
Great, great. Well, we're definitely going to check that out. Everybody head on over. There's some great tips there, too, by the way. Sophronia's got a newsletter and some other great resources for you if you are looking to write your book. Thank you so much for joining us, Sophronia. I want to let you guys know that I have some great shows. I'm lining them up for you this spring. On April the 20th, Monique Hayward, the author of Divas Doing Business, What the Guidebooks Don't Tell You About Being a Woman Entrepreneur, will be here to talk with us about all the ins and outs, the lowdown, and the dirty about being a woman in business, the stuff that people don't always talk about. And then the next week, April 27th, we've got Ramit Sethi, the author of I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Now, this is really interesting to me because I didn't know you could really teach anybody to do that. So we're going to pick his brain about what he says, becoming a financial grown-up. We're going to talk about what that's all about. That's all coming up on Indie Business Radio. Tonight at the Indie Cafe for premium members of the Indie Beauty Network,
join us at indiebeauty.com and click on the members only section. Our guest host tonight is none other than Debbie Chiatas, that author of her new book is going to be coming out later this year, and she's going to be guest hosting the Indie Cafe tonight. And you can join us Wednesday at 9 o'clock p.m. for the Indie Chat, when our guest is going to be Mia Jackson of Doro Marketing, and she's going to give us all her best tips at the Indie Chat about marketing our businesses online. I keep it going. I keep it coming for you here at Indie Business. It's been great to have you. Thanks again, Sophronia. Thanks, everyone in the chat room. I will see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.